reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading for this second Sunday after Epiphany is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's found on page 776, and we read Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. In the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." Now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, found on page 1218. And we read 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1135, and we read John 1 and beginning at verse 29. John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said it to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, that is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today and those simple yet profound words of John the Baptist. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is our text. I was reading it rather boring article the other day. It had to do with the amount of acreage required to feed the amount of sacrificial animals that had to be in and around Jerusalem to fulfill all the required sacrifices. The couple of 100,000 lambs at Passover, the daily killing of animals in the morning and the afternoon. And throw in the frequent person who would come by and want to make some personal sacrifice and had to buy an animal. If you put a dot in a Jerusalem, the amount of acres you needed to graze all those animals year-round was about 22 kilometers. And somebody told me last night that they did the math, and I guess that's around 14.6 miles around Jerusalem in every direction, just to feed the animals that would be used in sacrifice. It's not surprising then that in Jewish sources from that time period outside of Scripture, there are statements made that if you find an animal between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, it belongs to the temple. And there were shepherds out in the field watching their flocks by night. Whose flocks? From the pure math of how much grazing land would have been needed, And then you add to that outside of Scripture sources that make the plain statement, if you find an animal between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, it belongs to the temple. Those shepherds were watching temple flocks. And most likely they weren't your average garden variety of shepherds either. Again, from other sources outside of Scripture, although somewhat named within Scripture itself, there were servants of the temple that you didn't hear a lot about, but they're there. They're named in Ezra and Nehemiah. You probably have never heard of them. I really wasn't familiar with them myself until a couple of weeks ago. Can we all say Nethinim? That sounded horrible. Try it again. Nethinim. Yeah. They are named in Scripture, Ezra, Nehemiah. They weren't the priests. They weren't the Levites. They weren't the singers. They're not the gatekeepers. But they were exempt, along with all those people, from all taxes in Israel. Which means they were kind of important. They got, if you will, all the jobs the priests, the Levites, the singers, and the gatekeepers didn't want. Like shepherd of the temple flock. But they were a special and important class of people. Those weren't just ordinary sheep in Bethlehem. They were sheep destined for sacrifice, being guarded by people appointed for temple duty. To those shepherds, the angels came. And this shall be a sign for you. A sign, not your ordinary everyday event, but something special. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now that's not unusual. But where do you find the babe? With people? Where they normally live? No. This newborn babe is going to be with the animals in a manger. Behold, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist may have been the first one to say it out loud. But from the day Jesus was born, God was declaring it in the images to the people that he announced the birth of Christ. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's also interesting as John the Baptist makes this announcement. He doesn't say sins in the plural. You've got all the people on the earth doing things wrong every day of their lives. There's sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. But he doesn't say who's come to take away the sins of the world, but the sin of the world. And if you read throughout the Gospel of John, what you find is that he often talks about sin, not in the plural, but in the singular. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to take out your Bibles now for just a moment and turn to John chapter 6. It's on page 1141 in your pew Bibles. And I direct your attention to verse 28, the very bottom of the right-hand side. And as I read it to you, pay attention to the plurals and the singular. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." They're asking about the plural. He informs them it's a singular. What is the work of God? We get hung up on sins as if they are the root of the problem. But the real root of the problem is not that people do this or that they do that. The real problem lies in sin. In not believing what God has told us. Did Adam and Eve not remember what God had said about that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Not only did they remember it, they quoted it to Satan. And while we don't know how long they were in the garden before they sinned, up to that point in time, in their conversation with Satan, they had no, if you will, inkling of even touching that fruit. But then Satan changed their understanding of who God is. In essence, he called God a liar. "You're not going to die. He knows that if you eat of it, you're going to be like Him." And it was when their understanding of who He was and what He would do for them and how He loved them and how He provided them for them, when that understanding of who God was in relationship to them, when that changed, that's when sins started to happen. And it's the same way with us. What does God tell you about Himself and about what He has done for you? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," who tells you in the waters of baptism that you are now clean and, as I love to tell you, perfect in His sight. And so let's make sure you all still get it, okay? How many of you in some way can describe yourself as being perfect? Raise your hands. Oh. New one. You were baptized. God has taken away all your sins. In some way, you are absolutely perfect. So why do you beat yourself up? Why do you say to yourself at times, "I'm no good"? What's the sin? It's not believing in what God is and has done for you in Christ. And you come here week after week after week and keep on hearing the wonderful good news of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Imagine what it is like then for those people who don't come and who don't hear. You know what's going on in the world, and sometimes that world is very close. It's our own family members, our own friends, the people we work with, absolutely destroying their lives with drugs, with alcohol, sometimes literally beating themselves up, mutilating their own bodies, starving themselves to death. Second leading cause of death among young people, suicide. And we sometimes visit with these people in our lives that we see choosing a path of self-destruction. But instead of addressing the sin, we address the sins. Why do you want to do that? That's just going to wreck your life. No, don't do that. That's bad for you. Did Adam and Eve not know that God said, don't eat of that fruit, you're going to die if you do? Yeah, they knew that. That wasn't the problem. The problem was they had forgotten what kind of God they had. And actually not forgotten. They just refused to believe it. We need to tell ourselves regularly and remind ourselves again and again of who God is and what He says to us about Himself. He's a God who loves you and values your life so much that He would send His own Son into this world to die for you, to be whipped, beaten, mocked, nailed to a cross, that He might call you His own. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if we desperately need to hear that message again and again, how much more to the lonely, the despised, the hopeless, the people in despair, the people that hate themselves, need to hear the truth about God and His love for us. There are all kinds of sin, and yes, they destroy our lives. But when you boil it all down, there's really only one sin that needs to be addressed. And that's how we understand God and the magnificence of His love for us. We need to take people to Jesus. And as John the Baptist declared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.